Good evening, Star Wars nerds. This is Nerd 11 reporting in. As I said yesterday, this is not going to be my normal comic book day review of a specific story arc within Star Wars Marvel comics. What I plan to do today is actually look at something from the latest issue that just came out today of Star Wars number 40, The Ashes of Jeddah, Part 3. Now, this isn't going to be my full review of it. I'm just going to talk about one little thing from it. My full review probably won't come until sometime in July or August with my current schedule of how I have these arcs laid out chronologically. But there is one thing that I do want to talk about, and it's a line that Princess Leia says to Luke during the story, and she's talking about the last time that she talked to her father, her adopted father, Bail Organa. The last words she said that he ever said to her were, "There's no one better. I trust you more than anyone. There's nothing you can't deal with." And then she then says, "At that time we didn't realize, but it was a mission briefing for my whole life." She's talking about a scene that we didn't see in Rogue One, nor did we see it in A New Hope. But it's Bail Organa going to Princess Leia at Yavin Base to tell her, "This is what I need you to do. I need you to get the plans from Scarif, and then you're going to take them to where they need to go. You're going to bring them back to us so they can get analyzed. I trust you. I don't trust anybody else." And even Leia is saying, "I'm not sure that's what I really am meant to do." But she realizes that even though this is the last thing that she ever heard from her father, it's something that she has carried with her. And I think that's something that we're going to see in The Last Jedi. I think we're going to see Leia living out her whole life and realizing that there's nothing she can't deal with, that everyone relies on her, and that she is a leader. Even after her entire planet is destroyed, the rebellion turns to her as a leader. Yes, she's not the same leader as Mon Mothma was, who was the leader of the entire alliance, and later became the head of the New Republic. But Leia is this leader that everyone looks to. Even when she was a member of the Republic Senate, the New Republic Senate, she led the fight to maintain control and to bring support for the military to still be there, because she fully believed that even though the New Order, or sorry, the First Order is out there and there are other people who don't believe that, there's still a threat from the fledgling Empire. She believes that it is. So she's the one who breaks off and becomes the leader of the Resistance, the face of the Resistance, because she feels this sense of duty and this calling. And I feel that this is something, a lesson that she's going to pass on to who I believe her predecessor is going to be, and her apprentice, if you want to say, is Poe Dameron, and that he is going to become the new leader of the Resistance. And that's what we're going to see in The Last Jedi, that Poe Dameron, who's been built up in the comics, his own line that he's been going through, has been Leia training him to not just be a fighter pilot, but for him to be a leader, someone that everybody looks up to and will follow. The same way that now Rey has gone to Luke to be trained, Leia is going to train, or has been training, Poe willingly, whereas Luke seems to not want to train Rey, and is very reluctant to do it. So we'll see. That's one of the things that I think, and this is a good connection to The Last Jedi. So here we are, Nerd Squadron, less than 24 hours away from the wide release of Star Wars The Last Jedi, Episode 8 in the Skywalker saga. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting really excited. Can't wait for going to see the movie tomorrow night. I don't know about you, but I have a couple of general movie going traditions and routines that I typically go through. Some people may think this strange, but I don't. I think it's perfectly normal. I typically go and see these movies by myself. Nobody else in my family goes to see it with me on opening night. My wife used to go and see them with me. She went and saw the prequels with me, especially Episode 2, and I believe Episode 3 we went and saw together at the movie theater. I can't remember exactly if she went on opening night or not, but I have always had the tradition since the prequel era. Yes, I didn't have the honor of being old enough to go and see the original trilogy in the movie theaters on opening weekends. As some of you may know, one of the first movies that I went and saw was Return of the Jedi when I was a child in the movie theater, but I didn't go and see it on opening night. I went and saw it later on. But as far as going and seeing Star Wars movies on opening night and the premiere night, one of the biggest memories that I remember is going to see Phantom Menace, Episode 1, on opening night, and waiting in line when tickets first went on sale to go and get my tickets. Now, this was before the days of stadium seating, before the days of having assigned seating, and before being able to buy tickets online. You actually stood in line outside a movie theater and went up and bought as many tickets as you could, and there was no guarantee that there were going to be tickets left for that midnight showing. So I went in with the plan of, you know, I'm probably not going to get tickets for the midnight showing. I'm going to go later on in the day on Friday and take one of my friends. But on a lark, I asked, do you happen to have any tickets available for the midnight showing on Thursday? And they said, absolutely. We actually have Episode 1 showing on every single one of our screens, so we can maximize the number of people who get to see it at midnight. So I immediately jumped on the chance and bought one ticket for myself. I kind of felt bad because I knew I could go and see it because at the time I was in college, but the friend that I would be taking later on Friday was still in high school, so there was no way his parents were going to let him go and see a movie at midnight. My parents, on the other hand, they couldn't say one way or the other because of my age. But I did that, and that became my tradition, that I would go and see a Star Wars film on opening night, very first screening that I could, usually for the prequels, that was at midnight, but then in the era of Force Awakens, you know, there wasn't such a thing as midnight showings anymore. Typically, you have the earliest showing that they did was at 7 o'clock on Thursday because of the era that we live in now. But that's one of my traditions. I have a couple other quirks about going to see the movies and some of the things that I enjoy doing as well, but going and seeing the movie by myself the very first time, that's the way it's always been, especially for a Star Wars movie. One of my other quirks that I have is not only going to see the movie by myself, but I typically will go about an hour before the showing happens. Once again, this stems all the way back from the days in which there wasn't assigned seating. Even up to the point of Force Awakens 2 years ago, the theater I went and saw it at did not have assigned seating, so you had to get there early enough so that you could get in line so you could go get a good seat. Now, this year, like I said earlier, the theater that I'm seeing the film at, it does have assigned seating now. So, yes, I don't have to get there an hour ahead of time, but I like to get there, have plenty of time to get a snack if I wanted to get a snack, use the restroom before going in, because when I sit my happy little butt down into that seat, I do not plan on getting up until the end of the credits, especially that first time that I go and see it. Part of the reason why I like to stay until the end of the credits isn't because I think that there's going to be a post-credit scene like there is in most Marvel movies. It's because I enjoy sitting there and listening to the score that has been put on by John Williams and the Star Wars Orchestra. Yes, I'm a Star Wars score soundtrack junkie. I have every single one of the theatrical soundtracks. I also have the special edition soundtracks that came out when they did the special edition re-releases in the 90s of the original trilogy. I've always enjoyed John Williams. One of the podcasts that I used to listen to religiously was Star Wars Oxygen, hosted by David W. Collins, who, if you watch the red carpet premiere or have watched some of the live streams for Star Wars Celebration, you'll see that David W. Collins does a lot for Lucasfilm and for Star Wars in general. He is a phenomenal amount of knowledge when it comes to classical music, especially in the film soundtrack genre, and especially for John Williams. He goes in-depth, and just listening to him is like taking a master's class on the music of John Williams. And the reason why that podcast got its name of Oxygen is that that's what George Lucas described the soundtrack of Star Wars movies as, from John Williams, is that, you know, George Lucas may put the pictures on the film, but John Williams is the one who breathes the oxygen into the life into those films. So staying until the end of the credits, to me, you know, it's a way of being able to take in that music and give myself a chance to just relax and decompress after seeing what I just took in for the last 2 hours or so. So now you know my typical routine with going to see movies and what I do during the movie and things like that. I want to actually get into not necessarily my predictions, but some of my thoughts about the Last Jedi as we come into these final hours before actually going to see it. Now, I'm going to let you know, I'm not a fan of spoilers. I don't read reviews ahead of time, so I have not heard anything other than the very vague, basic, typical things that you've heard out in media that you may have come across incidentally. So I like to go into the movies very fresh. I've actually had a full media blackout when it comes to my social media. My Facebook page that I have, I generally will only go in there and pop in a quick status update, kind of glance at what the notifications are of what I've been tagged in, things like that. But I won't, if somebody specifically tags me in something, I won't go and see it unless on Facebook. Unless I have talked to that person ahead of time and said, hey, what is this? Because I, unfortunately, got spoiled for the death of Han Solo in The Force Awakens right before I saw the movie. I made the mistake of going on Facebook, checking in, and somebody that I was friends with and was following spoiled it and said, I can't believe they killed Han Solo. I nearly lost my mind. For weeks ahead of time, I had been posting pictures saying, please don't say anything about The Force Awakens before it premieres. I don't want to be spoiled. I want to go in with a fresh perspective and everything like that. Needless to say, he was the only person that I ended up unfollowing. I didn't unfriend him, I just unfollowed him. So I've learned from that mistake, so I'm not gonna look at anything. I haven't even really looked at my Twitter, unless it's to see who favorited something. I will go in there and I will post something on Twitter every once in a while, just a little bit of an update. As you can see, I've done that a couple of times also with the _ SW Nerds Twitter feed, but that's about it. I've actually stopped looking at social media altogether because I don't want to have happen to me that happened in The Force Awakens to happen with The Last Jedi. So that's about it. So, but as far as that goes, if I make a prediction, just to let you know, I have not read anything ahead of time. I didn't read any spoilers. And all predictions that I make are strictly coming straight out of my crazy Star Wars idle brain. So just take that as a word of caution. It's not really a spoiler because I haven't read anything and nothing's official. And like I said, I'm just an average Star Wars movie-going nerd. So not really fully being familiar with Rian Johnson's previous work. I know he did Looper. I'm vaguely familiar with that movie. I actually haven't seen it yet. It's one of those ones that I've kind of set to the side and said, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. I would like to see it. I have a vague understanding of what the plot of it was. But everyone in the media has constantly been saying that Rian Johnson will take, you know, Star Wars most likely into a darker turn and this, that, and the other thing. And based on the previews and things that have been said in interviews, I'm not 100% on thinking that it's going to be a dark Star Wars film. I don't think Disney or Lucasfilm would ever allow that to happen. I do think there's going to be lighter moments. I mean, we even see in a preview where Chewbacca smacks a Porg off of the dash of the Millennium Falcon. So, and just having the Porgs in it to begin with is most likely going to take it into a lighter area. So, I'm not worried about it being too dark. You can't really get much darker than the ending of Rogue One, of them killing off all of these main characters that you have spent the entire movie of becoming connected to, and they just wipe them out. And Darth Vader walking down a hallway and just laying waste to every single rebel troop that he could possibly get his hands on. So, you know, they've gone kind of dark in that regard. So I'm not worried about that. I don't expect to see Marvel's Punisher level type darkness and things like that, or, you know, Logan type violence and stuff like that. So I'm not too worried about that. But what I am nervous about with The Last Jedi is it potentially not feeling, and I really hate this term, but not feeling Star Wars-y enough for me. And really, when it comes to, you know, something not feeling or being, you know, in my opinion, quote unquote, you know, Star Wars, is a different feeling for everybody. There were a lot of people who felt things that happened in the prequels weren't Star Wars-y, or things that happened in, you know, that are happening in Rebels, or things that have happened in the Clone Wars cartoon series aren't Star Wars enough. So, it's really hard for me to explain what that means, but I'll do my best. I'm afraid that they're going to take the saga in a completely other direction. Not saying that having a change in direction is a bad thing, and that it should stay the exact same course and be cookie cutter, just like all the other films. I'm not saying that. I'm afraid of them taking it and just for the sake of giving it a twist, giving it a twist. I don't want to see that. But at the same time, I don't want it to be cookie cutter and predictable. It's not something that I want. So I don't think that they're going to do that. I don't think Rian Johnson is the type of person and the type of director to go that direction. And especially, I don't think Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy would allow him to take it in that direction and then turn around and offer him a trilogy to write, direct, and do whatever the heck he wants with brand new off the page. So I'm kind of feel on the safe side because of that. So knowing what everyone has said about Rian Johnson and his liking to take things in different directions and giving things twists that you don't normally anticipate, that coupled with the fact that we know that pretty much The Last Jedi is going to pick up right where The Force Awakens ended, I'm kind of nervous when it comes to traditions of Star Wars. Traditionally, right after we have it where it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you get that excellent trumpet blast coming out of the still silence of a completely blacked out screen and Star Wars flying away from you, and then we get the opening crawl. However, in Rogue One, they went away from that. They did a cold open. They did, they still did a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. They gave you that sharp note to enter as you're flying over to Jyn Erso's new homeworld. But that was it. There was no opening crawl, nothing. They gave you a cold open of something that happened long ago in the past when Jyn Erso was a young girl. That's excellent. That was a way to replace the opening crawl, and with it being a quote-unquote Star Wars story, I had no problem with that. I knew they were going to do something different with these standalone films, but with these episodic films, there should be continuity there. So I hope that we're not going to get a, you know, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away cold open to Rey standing on that cliff edge with Luke, reaching out to him with his father's lightsaber and his old lightsaber, the hero's blade, and then we go into an opening crawl. I really would not like that. So that's one tradition that I'd like them to adhere to. One of the traditions that they've already said that they're getting away from is that there isn't going to be a large period of time. Like they said, it's going to happen almost immediately afterwards. And we know from the Captain Phasma comic that came out, the short issue run that was the Journey to the Last Jedi series, that it was only a couple of days after The Force Awakens. And it leads right up to be continued in The Last Jedi. So we know there is a small time gap, but not a large one. It's not years like it has been in the other Star Wars episode films. Another tradition is something that we actually didn't get in The Force Awakens, and that's the loss of a limb due to a lightsaber. Now, yes, in the final battle on Starkiller Base in the woods, we do have Finn, who gets severely injured. Lightsaber straight up the spine. How he survived that, I don't know. Hopefully they give a little bit of an explanation of that in The Last Jedi. Obviously, in the previews and the trailers, we do see him in some sort of what we're assuming is a back to tank to help him heal and things like that. So if that's not in The Last Jedi, I can live with that. That's one tradition that it's okay if we don't get it. It's not something that we've seen. I don't think Rey needs to lose a limb. I don't think Kylo Ren needs to lose a limb. And Luke's already lost a hand, so I don't think he needs to lose anything else. So as far as that tradition goes, I'm okay if that doesn't happen this time around in The Last Jedi, the same way it didn't happen in The Force Awakens. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm being cautiously optimistic when it comes to going into The Last Jedi. The way I'm approaching it is that I don't think I'm going to be absolutely blown away. Excuse me. But at the same time, I think I'm going to have something unexpected happen. I'm going to be surprised by something. Now, do I believe that this is going to be the end-all be-all movie of all time? Do I think it should win all the awards? No. Do I believe that there's going to be a plot line or something in it that just won't sit right with me? Yes. I go into every movie like that, especially Star Wars movies. I know that there's always going to be something in it that isn't going to feel 100% right. With the Phantom Menace going in, something just didn't feel right of them having Anakin Skywalker being as young as he was. I honestly believe that he should have been 12 or 13, a little bit closer to Padme's age. Still younger, still someone a little bit more inexperienced than Padme, but at the same time, I didn't expect it to be a little kid. No offense to Jake Lloyd, and the choices that George Lucas made, but that's something that kind of didn't sit right with me, knowing that this little boy and Padme, who was a teenager, were going to eventually fall in love in one of these movies and have children together, having them become Luke and Leia. That's okay. I'm also bracing myself to lose one of the remaining two of the big three. As much as I would hate for it to happen, but I'm already mentally preparing myself to have something happen to Leia. I honestly believe that they were probably planning on killing Luke off, because they've even said that Leia was supposed to have a larger role come episode 9, but with the unfortunate passing of Carrie Fisher, we're not going to have that happen. And I really don't think they're going to recast it with somebody else. Not that they're not well within their prerogative to, but I kind of feel like that would be a little off-putting for most of us as fans. So, I also think that, those are my hopes and some of my fears when it comes to this movie. But I know that I'm going to walk out of the movie theater having been happy that I spent the last 2 hours watching this film. So if you've listened to my ramblings for the last better part of a half an hour, I appreciate it that you've stuck with me this long. And I'm finally going to get to what I pretty much said I was going to do today, and that was give you my predictions for The Last Jedi. The first thing I'm gonna look at is whether or not it's going to perform as well as The Force Awakens did. In its opening weekend, Force Awakens set box office records, and then the next year, Rogue One didn't break The Force Awakens records, but it did just as much money in its opening weekend. And to be honest with you, I think The Last Jedi, even though it's a sequel, and traditionally in Hollywood, sequels don't make as much as the first part of a trilogy and the last part of a trilogy does. I think in this case, there's special circumstances in which it's going to draw people to the movie theater. The first thing is the tragic passing of Carrie Fisher. So everyone is going to want to go and see the final performance of Carrie Fisher and her iconic role as Leia Organa Solo. And that, coupled with the fact that everyone has been saying since the beginning that Rian Johnson was coming in and giving a new spin on Star Wars, especially after how everyone went and saw The Force Awakens and felt that J.J. Abrams just did a retread of the original trilogy. I'm not getting into that. I did an entire couple of segments, actually, on that exact same issue. So, but I think that is what's going to draw people to the movie theaters. Now, exact dollar amounts, I'm not going to get into that. I don't have the knowledge nor the metrics to base it on. So I just know that you're not only going to get the diehard Star Wars fans who are going to be the ones to go and see that at 7 o'clock on Thursday and every showing between then and Friday and see it multiple times, 2, 3, 4 times. I know some people who saw The Force Awakens 7 times within the first 3 nights of it being shown. So I was not one of them. I only saw it 4 times in the first 5 days. So anyways, I myself am planning on going 3 times. I will go 2 times tomorrow night, and then I will also go hopefully 1 time this weekend, like I said, and taking one of my kids with me this time. So I won't go to the movies by myself all 3 times in a row. So anyways, I digress. As far as my predictions go, I feel that Poe Dameron will become, by the end of the movie, Poe Dameron will become the new leader of the Resistance, which I believe that Princess Leia, I'm sorry, General Leia Organa is going to tragically pass. They're not going to kill off both Luke and Leia, and with, like I said earlier, with the unfortunate passing of Carrie Fisher, even though she was supposed to have a larger role in 9, that they're not going to recast her in 9 just to keep that role going on. No major character is going to lose a limb, and if nobody loses a limb in the movie, I'm okay with that. Rey is going to be related to the Kenobis. I'm not buying into the fact that two characters in the story mode of Battlefront 2 ended up having a daughter by the end of it. I don't fully believe that Lucasfilm and Disney would put the parentage of one of their major characters in a video game. That's for another. I don't think Porgs and Vulptexes are going to be as prevalent as most people think they're going to be. And I don't think Luke's going to fall to the dark side or go to the dark side like everybody else thinks he is. Now, I could be completely off base with these, and as far as my predictions go, I'll grade them tomorrow night after I see the movie. So I appreciate everyone hanging out with me and listening to my take on how to get ready for, or how I'm getting ready for The Last Jedi and my predictions and things going into the movie. I just want to remind everybody that you're more than welcome to call into the station here at anchor.fm to be part of the conversation. Like I said, it doesn't have to just be a monologue of me rambling on. I'm also experimenting a little bit in these last couple of segments today of recording direct as Ken Knapsack and Joseph Scrimshaw from the Force Center podcast say, recording direct to tape. I'm not editing these, so that's why you've gotten a couple of the coughs, me saying just trying something a little bit different. Do a little bit more of a monologue here. But I am encouraging people to call in. If you can't get a hold, or if you don't listen to this on the Anchor.fm app, to do a call-in, and you're listening to the overall podcast on the next day when it gets posted, thank you. Give us a like. You can more than welcome to send in a question or make a comment on Twitter, and follow us at @_SWNerds. I know it's not the greatest Twitter handle, but once again, it's @_SWNerds. Just go ahead and shoot your question in there. You don't even have to be 120 characters anymore. It can be 240. Thank you, Twitter, for making it go even longer. So go ahead and shoot in your question. I'll read it here on the air, and we'll carry on a conversation. Like I said, I really would like to do some feedback from people and hear what your reactions were to seeing The Last Jedi on Friday. So any one of those options, go ahead and, you know, call in or send in a tweet, you're more than welcome. So that's all I got. All that's left is to sit down and view the movie now. So here we go. That's all for today, fellow Star Wars nerds. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the station, don't forget to hit the favorite button so you don't miss the next broadcast. Feel free to leave a comment on any of the segments or call into the station so the rest of the galaxy can hear your voice. You can also follow the station on Twitter @_SWNerds. At me and leave a comment or question which I might read on a future segment. Once again, thank you for listening. This is Nerd 11, signing out and making the jump for home. May the Force be with you.